So much of our effort is focused on employment, access to services, education. But cultural experiences transcend all of those areas and are just a lot of fun. This next group of individuals have dedicated themselves to making sure that cultural experience and the arts are accessible to people with disabilities. Those of you who have been to the Hippodrome Theater will recognize this voice, as he is the voice of audio description for musicals from Hairspray to Hamilton. Ralph Welsh is the president of Maryland Arts Access. Many of you also may know Bob Watson from his work as NFB Newsline or as Jessica's dad. Bob also owns and operates Braille Enterprises, a company that prints the agenda you receive, the menu you received and used in the restaurant, and other, and so on. Bob also works with cultural institutions to bring Braille to your fingertips. Last but not least, Cheryl Fogelhatch is familiar to most of you, I'm sure. Cheryl owns and operates Museum Census, a company whose mission is to make museums accessible. For presentations on their work, please welcome Ralph Welsh, Bob Watson, and Cheryl Fogelhatch.
Ralph Welsh here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm here to talk about audio description, which was invented a little over 30 years ago right next door in Washington, D.C., and now has gone worldwide. You are entitled to audio description for any performance that you want under the ADA. A venue is required to provide it for you. But you have to do your part. You have to notify the box office early on of your need, and they may direct you to a scheduled performance, or if non-scheduled, then you will have to give them time to arrange for a schedule. But I encourage you to get out and enjoy the theater and the event, because with a little help, it can be a lot of fun. I've been involved with audio description from almost from the beginning, and I do most of the performances at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore. There are scheduled performances at the other theaters here, Center Stage and Everyman Theater, but at the Hippodrome, the Hippodrome is very open to needs and will try to accommodate you and your needs. Our procedure is get there early is the first thing. Pick up a headset. We have FM transmission. You can set anywhere in the theater and hear the audio description. I start 15 minutes before curtain time and give basic background information so that when the curtain goes up, you can start to enjoy the activities. I talk about what the stage sets look like, what the costumes are like, what the, with some degree, what the actors look like, and background information like that, so that you're ready to go when the curtain goes up. Then during the performance, it is our intention as audio describers never to interfere or dominate the performance. We just help along the way. We use those little opportunities, which we call windows, when there is no dialogue or there's a set change or something like that, to insert information. Sometimes it's very extensive, sometimes not at all. Some performances, example like in Pretty Woman this last season, there was a whole long scene where no sound was made, and it required an extensive description. The last performance at the Hippodrome was the Hippodrome, I mean, it was the Hamilton, and Hamilton was machine gun fire from beginning to end, and there were very little opportunities to insert any description to help along the way. But our intention is to assist and give you tips so that you can have a full performance, enjoy the full performance and take advantage of these cultural activities. I encourage you to get out and enjoy them, but let your needs be known. Thank you.
No polish. I got a holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. The shining is.
Everybody recognize those? All right. Way to start it. So as was mentioned, my name's Bob Watts, and I operate Braille Enterprises. I wanted to give you a little bit of overview of the company real quick. I'm certified as a Braille transcriptionist by the Library of Congress in March of 2017. Many people may know this or not. It's a correspondence course that actually takes close to 1 year to complete. And I was proud to be able to do that. I have three children. My oldest daughter is Jess, and she happens to be blind. And she's listening. Hey, Jess, are you out there? She's on the stream. So anyway, so everybody's saying hey. So anyway, the business started, speaking to Jess, it started in the year 2000. And we went to one of our local pizza shops, and I said, hey, Jess, go up and ask for a Braille menu. So she did. And the owner looked, had no clue. What are you talking about? Braille menu, I have, this is foreign to me. So I had to do a little bit of education. It was very quick. And I urged him to participate. I said, you have a copy of your menu? Do you have it as a hard copy? Do you have it as electronic? Whatever. Let me help you out. So he did. And from that, the business has obviously grown through the years, and I do all kinds of restaurants across the country. But anyway, that's just a brief history. So you heard at the beginning the music from Hamilton and, of course, the award-winning Grammy singer, Tina Turner. Who's been to the Hippodrome? Let's hear some noise. All right. That's good. That's good. So did you know that the playbill that they hand out in print is also available in Braille? Who knows that?
Yeah.
All right, well, a couple people. Okay. Well, that's good. So next, the Hamilton, obviously Ralph talked about that. The next one upcoming is Tina Turner, and that starts next week. There's going to be 5 Braille copies there. So if you go, yeah, let's hear some noise for 5 Braille copies. So anyway, I'm holding up the playbill for Hamilton. This is the one that, again, the show that just closed. It's 92 Braille pages. And if those of you that have seen this in print, it contains all the musical numbers, and it also has a biography of the cast, which is really important. So when you have audio description being available as well as the material in Braille, you really have the best of the experience. It's just, you know, we can't ask for anything more than that. So let's keep that going. And I kind of ask for anyone's assistance when you're at various places. Like Ralph mentioned, you got to ask for it. Just tell them that you want to have the material. If it's in print, you want to have it in Braille. And you can give my company name. I'll talk about it at the end and the website. I don't want to do a whole spiel on a promotion, but I'll talk about it just a bit. So I mentioned the Hippodrome. I also do work with the Center Stage and also the Philadelphia Opera Company. If anybody gets up to Philly and has an interest in opera, all their programs they have available in Braille as well. Some people may be familiar with One Maryland, One Book, part of the Maryland Humanities. Well, every year they work with me and I give them a Braille copy of the book that is offered for that year. And those are participatory activities that go across the state. So anyone getting down to D.C., if you go to the Hirshhorn, which is an art museum and sculpture gallery, they have their every exhibition. They have the text labels that are available on the wall. Those are also available as a Braille guide that you can take with you while you're enjoying the exhibition. And then if you go to the Folklife Festival, which is a huge gathering down in D.C. on the National Mall each year. So the program guide is available there with the agenda and the calendar of events. And any of the concession stands that you go to, all the food offerings, the menus are there in Braille as well. So you can get those as well. Thanks. So going along, even though it's not necessarily culture, although it is a bit, if you go to Catoctin Creek Nature Center, their trail guides are available in Braille. And if you visit the U.S. Supreme Court, they have a visitor's guide that I've done for them. And then going, talking about something a little unrelated to arts and culture is food. I'm sure everybody goes to restaurants, and as was mentioned, I've been working with restaurants for many years, and it's kind of a tough sell sometimes. I don't have, unfortunately, a lot of time to dedicate to marketing the business. And if I did, it would probably be hugely successful because there's a lot of restaurants out there. But I do, everyone has maybe heard of Miss Shirley's. All right, well, go to Miss Shirley's. They have menus at each of the locations. I've been working with them for many, many years. There's a couple other chains across the country, Logan's Roadhouse, which is in the Carolinas, and Skyline Chili, which is based out of Ohio. And then there's a pizza chain called Pizza Luce's. It's out of Minnesota. All of those restaurants have Braille menus. So, again, I just ask for anyone that is out and about, if you talk it up, talk to the owners, talk to the managers about having Braille menus. Now, at the pandemic started, a lot of these restaurants have gone to these QR codes. Everyone's probably familiar with the codes. There are these little things that sit on the table, and you can scan it with your phone. That is assuming you have a smartphone. That should bring up a menu. Now, are they accessible all the time? No, they're probably not. So that's one of the things that I try to promote is that, yes, that's a great idea. I understand the concept of it. You don't have to print out your print menus, your Braille menus, but there's nothing quite like having your own individual menu in Braille. It's private, it's independent, and you get all the same information that you need. So just go out there, ask. If it's Braille material or if it's text material, pretty much it's something that I do with my company. It's business cards, it's medical documents, etc. So quick plug, BrailleEnterprises.com. Very simple. My email address, bob@BrailleEnterprises.com. There you go. That's all I have. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks to Ronza for the opportunity to present. My fellow panelists talked about Braille and audio description. These are incredibly important. I have used, with great pleasure, read the playbills that Bob Watson produces for Center Stage, and I have heard their in-house audio description. So these are important. But these are things that happen when a program has already been planned. The production's already done. I'm going to talk about accessibility and design for museums when you're trying to design one experience for everyone. So, starting with a couple of facts, there are more than 35,000 active museums in the United States. That's everything from art museums to zoos, history museums, and a bunch of other things in between. And before the pandemic, several of us conducted a survey about museum experience of adults who are blind. There are a few of you in this room who have completed it, so thank you. The results will not surprise you. Survey participants reported that inability to access exhibit content, so things behind glass, inability to read labels, small print, no braille, no mapping and signage. So from these facts, we can state that most Americans are likely to live in a community that has at least one museum. Second fact, but most museum exhibits are not accessible to blind Americans. So remember this. So it's a lot of work. Museums are designed by sighted people generally, and by default, vision has been the primary mode of presenting information. That is probably because many sighted people do not have the opportunity to develop ways of presenting in audio or tactile components. So I have founded Museum Senses to provide multi-sensory experiences for everyone. So that means tactile models that are visually appealing and audio that can be engaging to everyone. So that you have a multi-sensory experience that can be enjoyed by mixed groups of blind and sighted people. So you can go with your friends and family. Tactile models can be made of durable materials like metal. They can be made of wood. They can be made of plastic, all sorts of things. This group is too big to pass around a tactile model, though I would love to do that sometime, workshop or something. Did you get my audio file, Ronza?
What's that?
Did you ever get my audio file? No, don't worry about it.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Can you cue it? Okay, it's fine, you can play it. This is an example of a sonification. This is an audio experience that can be played with video accompaniment. And I will send out the link for this. It's NASA, it's the Chandra Observatory. So the different instruments are the different wavelengths, the low pitch or infrared, mid-range or optical light, and the chimes are X-rays. And there are lots of cool videos there, and I will send out this link later. I'll send a written link to my presentation as well. But this is something that NASA has done. So that's called sonification. It's an audio experience. Some folks at NASA are really good at that, and there's some other things, and I hope to do more with that. I hope to do with more models. I have just founded my business within the last year. I do not have any current Baltimore projects. The closest example of my work is a touch store I consulted with in New Jersey, a small stork house. So everyone go up to Morristown, New Jersey. And also the tactile models that are at the National Park Service at the FDR Memorial in D.C., that was something that I participated in advocacy for. So my website is Museum Senses, Museum, S-E-N-S-E-S, so like the five senses, .org, and I will send out this information to everyone, so stay tuned.
So I'm going to pass on their fire to them. So Ralph, you missed this before. We are giving you squeezable fire. Because our theme is reconnect, reimagine, reignite. Thank you all. They were great. How about a round of applause for them? Yeah.